kiss your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count. I have called you mine, you have stood by me in my
life from New York City. It's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. Today, this is Talk Back, the one program each week where you have an opportunity throughout the entire program to call and share your thoughts and concerns, insights and questions or challenges. Our number is 888-874-4888. And people in Canada can also call 888-874-4888. I'm going to begin with the latest on health and healing. Recently, I harvested a prickly pear. First time I ever ate a prickly pear was down in Texas at the Healing Springs Ranch. And everyone who came from New York, which were thousands of people in August, I would take them on a tour. And that's when the prickly pears were in blossom. And they would in bloom. And they would take one. And they'd never eaten one before. Really gorgeous red orbs inside. Had an unusual flavor. Wasn't very sweet, but exotic. Well, they're very good for you, as it turns out. In fact, better than most people ever imagined. One more reason why, when you go to the supermarket now, look for prickly pear. I'll tell you why. The question for people who are gluten intolerant is, can they handle quinoa? Q-U-I-N-O-A. I'll tell you that. Mung bean sprouts can do something really important in your body. Playing outside can make kids more spiritual. Vitamin D deficiency is linked to very aggressive prostate cancer. Also, bitter melon juice can treat a major killer. Red wine is just great for your health, and soy dairy protein can give you more muscle mass, and almonds, all kinds of good things on almonds. So we have a lot to share, always from the mainstream independent peer-reviewed literature. Then, a drug that can make you kill. Now, wouldn't you think that if a drug were that toxic, that if a percentage of people taking it can become extremely violent against others or themselves, that we wouldn't allow that on the market? But we do. Martha Rosenberg from Alternet will tell you what the drug is, how bad it is, and why it's still on the market. Then from our environmental segment, more oil on the tracks, more spills. In fact, more oil spills from railroad cars last year than the previous 40 years. 1 year, more than 40, and it's going to get worse. Also, at St. Louis Church is ordered, stop handing out hot meals to the homeless. What are you trying to prove? That's bad. Bad for whom? Well, I'll tell you about how on Sunday, a Missouri church that serves hot meals to homeless people ended up being told by the city health department, you can't do that. Just one more bureaucracy messing with our lives. Anyone care at that health department about the people who are homeless or hungry? No, that's not their business. They have food, they have shelter. But boy, they have the power of a bureaucracy. And I am in absolute contempt right now of how so many bureaucracies have overstepped the boundary of what they're due. Serve the people. Do it honorably, honestly, and effectively. Instead, dominate, threaten, and make lives miserable for people. That's what they do. I'll share that with you. Our commentary tonight is a long one. It's based upon some in-depth original investigation by In the Public Interest group. And you heard me talk about it the other day, how so much of our money, our taxpayer money, is spent on giving private contractors who are smart enough, politically connected enough, and rich enough to get themselves these government contracts. So the question is, are we better off? No, not in a single case. in every case, were worse off. But I'm not telling you this. This is in the public interest telling you this. And I'm going to give you the details about how bad it is. So the next time one of your politicians in Congress that you will never hear about on these issues awards another one of the hundreds of thousands of contracts to private contractors with hundreds of billions of dollars each year going to them, and you wonder why things are not better, you'll know why they're not better. Let's begin. I was out in almond country not long ago. The almond capital of the world is about an hour and a half or so north of Los Angeles, called Ojai. Small little hills. You can walk up one of the hills in 3 or 4 minutes normally. And this is where they have over 200,000 acres of almond trees. Requires over 50,000 hives to service these. In fact, more beehives are used in pollinating the almond tree than for any other crop that we have, including apples. But it also is there's no other food there. Not very smart. I forgot. The state oversees it. Why should they ever do anything smart? They don't. It's California. What do you expect? So instead of actually doing something that someone would actually be thoughtful about, why don't we plant some other crops that the bees can forage on so that they don't starve to death? Instead, hundreds of millions of bees starve to death. It takes a long time to get them there in these trucks. They're kept in abhorrent conditions. They're not fed honey. They're fed a glucose solution or fructose solution. The trees are heavily sprayed with pesticides. And so by the time they pollinate and there's no food, most of them die. Now you think the beekeepers would be smarter. Well, then again, it's not the brightest group of people in the world that I've met. And I'm an organic beekeeper. You don't see colony collapse in ours because we're not transferring our hives. Why doesn't California subsidize putting in crops that the bees can live off, smart, year-round, smarter still, have bees of their own that the state can purchase and put in the hives, smartest of all? Stupid me. It's a bureaucracy. You actually think that these people do the right thing? No. So what's happening is, and maybe this is the wake-up call that will get their attention, between 1 and 2 million acres are being taken out of production because they're out of water. They should have seen that coming. They did. Should have done something about it. They didn't. Nothing smart. And now you're going to have lack of pollination. Now, why is that important? Why should we care? Because 1/3 of all the food we eat requires pollination. Now, there are moths that pollinate and birds that can pollinate, but nothing pollinates like bees. They're the best of the best, but they're extremely sensitive. If you look at mid-December, nothing's blooming. And as a result, you'll start to see the bees, they're lethargic, they're not flying well. And now put a cup of their own raw organic honey on a pole with the size of maybe a 12-inch plate, and instantly word goes out and it's covered with bees. Every day, at the time you get there, they'll know you're going to be there. They don't sting you. They want to be fed. They then take that honey back into the hive. The hive thrives. They're stronger. They're more disease resilient. They live long lives. How long? I have one hive that's 19 years old, producing prodigious amounts of honey. I never use any of the honey. The bee propolis, the bee pollen, give it all back to them. And that way, during December, January, and February, and you can see a picture up of this actual, they're my bees, you'll see, go to blog.garynall.com. They could be doing that everywhere else. They're not. What do you think is the likely outcome? Let's see how smart this is. You take a bee that does not have a strong immune system to begin with, you put them in very stressful conditions, and you drive them across the country in the dark because they're all wrapped in these tarpons. They can't get out. They don't know what's happening, and they don't have any food. A week later or longer, they get there, and there's no food. So you give them some sugar water, and that's junk food. And then once they pollinate, they've exhausted themselves and they die. Then you go back with partial or empty hives, and you're not reimbursed for it. That's a smart business. The state doesn't care. That's typical. And the Almond Grove people are not held responsible. You see, there's no smart people in this game, nor are there any responsible people in this game. It's like the Three Stooges trying to act like they know what they're doing. And they're failing. But if you're wealthy, you don't care about anything, do you? You just care about yourself. Well, most people care about themselves. Most people are selfish. And we know that. And most people don't care where their food comes from. But what happens when you're not getting the same harvest? Now you also have drought. Now you're getting a whole lot less harvest. Now you're getting torrential rain, more than what the body of the earth can absorb. So you get massive runoff. So seedlings are washed out. Roots are rotted. Fruit trees are rotted at the root. Now you get less produce, and all of it means it's going to cost more. But the average person already doesn't have enough money to pay for this. What then does it mean when we're running into substantial inflation in food? Then you start seeing why this is important. This is the latest on almonds, and I give you this because I've been there. I've seen this. I tried to speak with people. They don't want to hear what I have to say. That's fine. But then there's a consequence. And this year they'll do it, and next year they'll do it, and the year after. In 10 years from now, we will only have 5 to 10% of all the bees left. And that means we'll be running out of major types of food, including nut trees, a lot of berries, watermelon, a lot of things we won't have anymore. We'll have to import them from other countries. This is from the American Society of Nutrition. And here's what it says about almonds. There are 6 new papers on almonds. And they can help with overall quality of diet. That's true. An almond's a very healthy food. It can help limit satiety, which means you're not going to be as hungry as often if you take some nuts, because the fats in the nuts and the fiber in the nuts slow down digestion and stabilize blood sugar. It also leads to cardiovascular benefits. Dr. Carol O'Neill of Louisiana State University found an analysis of 20,000 adults using the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey over a 10-year period, and found that the more almonds you consume, the better your health during those periods of time. Purdue University, Dr. Richard Matisse, also found there's so much nutrient in there, it can help lessen the risk of type 2 diabetes. Pennsylvania State University researchers found in a randomized controlled study that just 1.5 ounces, that's a small amount of almonds, was beneficial in lowering overall cholesterol. So the takeaway message is this. Almonds are very healthy. Walnuts, pistachios, not the dry roasted, but or deep roasted, but raw. And extremely beneficial are the raw nut butters. Nut butters such as pistachio, almond, cashew, chia butter. That's terrific. By the way, the chia butter is one of the most nutrient-dense foods on earth. So if you took a tablespoon of chia butter and you put it into your smoothie in the morning, you're giving yourself an enormous benefit. Now, also, we had a tremendous group in the park. Wow, what a group. Nice people, training, getting into shape, some going to do the marathon. In fact, at one point, stretched out, it was almost a mile long. And I haven't seen these kind of numbers in about 15 years, so I'm glad to see people are coming out to get themselves in excellent shape. It's Sunday morning. at 9 o'clock at 5th Avenue 90th Street. And I always recommend taking certain antioxidants to protect your blood, to protect your heart, to feed your heart, and to keep your blood thin enough when you're running or power walking. That would be black garlic, coenzyme Q10, vitamin E from natural mixed tocopherols, NADH, PPQ, and L-carnitine. Those are terrific for all athletic, no matter what the athletic event is, biking, power walking, jogging, swimming. But then after the workout, ideally within 20 minutes of finishing your workout, you should have a protein drink. Now, we've all noticed when we lift weights, all right, or do push-ups, you get pumped. You know, your arms get pumped, and your shoulders and chest get pumped. But then a half hour later, they're back. And one of the things we're not doing, we're not having a quality protein immediately after exercise. If we did, especially if it has the branched chain amino acids or if it's from soy, it's going to help our muscles. And for people losing or lessening in their free testosterone, that's very important. This is the latest in the University of Texas, as published in the Journal of Applied Physiology. Quote, a new study shows additional benefits of consuming a blend of soy proteins after resistance exercise for building muscle mass. So that is what I would suggest. Make sure it's non-GMO. I've seen people drinking red wine all over the world. But in some countries like vodka and others in the south where I come from, it's bourbon. And now, could someone really tell the difference between scotch and bourbon? In most cases, not, unless you were a real connoisseur. But they all have something in common. All your hard liquors, they all burn the throat. They taste terrible. And you have to gasp if you drink them too fast because it's burning your esophagus, your tongue, your stomach, your intestines, killing about a million liver cells, kidney cells, heart cells, brain cells. It's really bad. Wine's different, however, especially if it's a natural sulfate-free wine. Here's the latest on this from the Scripps Research Institute, which is down in Florida. Quote, researchers now identified one of the molecular pathways that resveratrol, a component of grapes and red wine, used to reduce bad cholesterol, heart disease, and some types of cancer. Also found in blueberries, cranberries, mulberries, peanuts, and pistachios, resveratrol is associated with beneficial health effects in aging, inflammation, and metabolism. So, they found that it inhibits interleukin-6, which is a pro-inflammatory protein that's part of the immune system. And that means that you're more likely to survive or have less chance of developing breast cancer, because if you have high interleukin-6, you've got a bad prognosis for breast cancer. So that's good news. My suggestion, I believe that the grape is one of the five most perfect foods on earth. I believe that the more dark grapes, blue, black, or red that you eat, ideally with seeds in them in the skin, the healthier you're going to be. Grape juice made from those grapes, organic of course, that's also good. Now here's the deal. Had they studied the grapes and grape juice and not wine, they would have found that you're getting way more resveratrol in grape juice than you are in wine. And so it's always best to have the grape juice. Even better still is grape juice concentrate. But it's still good for your health. There was a time when I just passed it. Yesterday I was going over to Hunter College last night for a late lecture following the screening of one of my documentaries. Nice group of people. Very very proactive students and some faculty were there about GMOs. And as I was going down Central Park West, I passed a church. I believe it was the, what's it called, the Universalist Church. It's huge inside. It's one of the largest churches in New York. And it immediately brought back a day back in the 1980s, the late 1980s, where I held an AIDS Awareness Day there. You can see photographs of it up on website. And I brought in, there were at least 500 or 600 AIDS and gay activists. And we had doctors, scientists, and persons with AIDS who were making real positive recoveries, some full recoveries, using various forms of immune modulating therapy. And several of the people I was personally working with. It was packed. I'm guessing about 1,800 people. And I believe up on my website, you can see the videos of the lectures. But all of them were positive. The gentleman, the MD, PhD, talking about Chinese medicine and AIDS, and how by using various immune modulators, you could kill thrush, you could kill pneumocystis, green pneumonia. Dr. Robert Cathcart, I'd flown in, talking about vitamin C killing the HIV virus and rebuilding the person's health. We had all the top people I could find in the United States who were doing good work, all helping people with AIDS. And one of the therapies that no one was aware of in the group there was something that I had found out from a person in the tropics, in my studies of the tropics. And that was what happens when a person gets really sick with a viral and bacterial infection. And so I went down to the Dominican Republic and Jamaica, Trinidad, and Barbados. I wanted to find out, what do you use? And I went to the, what are called, bush doctors. These are generally, and medical doctors as well. What do you use? And they would give you different herbs and potions. And not knowing if they worked, I would first try to see if there was any medical literature on it. But then, one that they all said, including in Puerto Rico, not in the city, in the country, was bitter melon. I'd never tried bitter melon. And it was really bitter. It's not easy to drink. It looks something like a cucumber, but it has these little prickly things all over it. And much like a soursop, except soursop is wonderful tasting, but a soursop's more like a softball. This is like a cucumber. And so I started off by giving it to a man named Louis. And Louis couldn't stand the taste, so I put in Manuka honey. Then he could stand the taste. But I also, Louis was getting a massive amount of vitamin C intravenous and vitamin A and herbs of all types. But the moment he started drinking the melatonin, he began to notice that lesions on his skin began to heal. I'm talking about within 2 to 3 weeks. And these purple lesions, the Kaposi sarcoma, within about 6 months, he had none. And then others started using it, and they started getting results. One of the first results everyone got was it started to clear up their thrush. We had one fellow who was coming in 5 days a week, and his thrush the first day he came in was so bad that when he opened his mouth, all you could see, it looked like someone had taken cotton balls and stuffed them in his mouth. That was yeast. Unfortunately, it's not the yeast in your mouth you got to worry about. It's yeast that migrate into your lungs because that's where it kills you. And I remember the physician taking a tongue depressor and scraping out like a quarter a cup of this thrush. Now, of course, it's going to go right back. Thrush and yeast goes very fast. And then when you sit and you talk with this person about their diet, they were living off colas because he couldn't keep food down, so everything was cola, cola, cola. I estimated this person was taking over 100 teaspoons of sugar a day. Within about 3 months, detoxing, rebalancing the body's pH, but taking bitter melon 4 times a day, thrush all gone. So when I'm walking by there last night, this came into my mind. Just the idea that here's something so inexpensive, so easy to use, and we don't use it, and yet it's been used by countless people in other cultures, but unless we have the actual studies, we say it couldn't work. All right, here's the latest study. University of Colorado, major study, and here's what it says. Quote, pancreatic cancer is one of the most difficult cancers to treat. By the time it's diagnosed, it's usually at an advanced state, leaving little to offer in the area of treatment. Little advancement has been made with traditional therapies, leading scientists to look elsewhere for answers. Interesting enough, scientists at University of Colorado have found, or may have found, a breakthrough with bitter melon juice. Why? Quote, because a recent study revealed it killed pancreatic cancer cells in culture in mice. Bitter melon juice reduced tumor growth by 60%. Now, bitter melon fruit is grown in Asia and Africa and the Caribbean, traditionally used to treat diabetes. But the lead researcher, Dr. Agarwal, thought bitter melon might treat pancreatic cancer, since type 2 diabetes often precedes the disease. And that's when he did research and found out it does. Tumor growth was inhibited by 60% in those with no signs of toxicity. Now, we know that it regulates insulin levels. That's good for diabetics. But didn't know about cancer. But then when you think about it, if it would kill viruses and kill bacteria and kill yeast, that I knew it did because I saw it, then it just goes to extend that concept that it can kill cancer cells. So that's good news. So if you know anyone who has AIDS, defining illnesses, and by the way, I have published 27 articles, a textbook, written 5 award-winning documentaries on AIDS, and the majority of that material was on living with AIDS naturally, in other words, rebuilding the body system, where I am completely against the orthodox approach and those organizations and individuals who promote the toxic drugs like AZT, is that for the most part, the vast majority of them are profiting by them and without looking at the deadliness of that treatment. Yeah, AIDS exists. I've helped 1,200 people. Many are alive today. The only recorded cases I'm aware of in America or the world where you completely reversed it, we've done it. And I wrote it up in these articles that were published, including the Townsend Letter for Doctors. But not once have any of them come to say, what have you done? Let's take a look at it. So much for openness. Vitamin D, associated with longer cancer remission and survival. This is from the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. An MD, PhD, Dr. Wang, looked at 17,000 cases of cancer in a meta-analysis, and what he found was that for those taking vitamin D, especially for lymphoma, you had a 52% lower risk of premature death. Wow. So vitamin D, I'm going to say between 1 and 3,000 units, can help you stay in remission and survive longer with cancer. One other thing that it can do, it's linked with slowing down aggressive prostate cancer. This is from clinical research papers published by the American Association for Cancer Research. And here's what it has to say from Northwestern University. Quote, regular vitamin D screenings could especially benefit white and African American men for prostate cancer. So that's good. Also, children who spend significant time outdoors could have a stronger sense of self-fulfillment and purpose than those who don't. And in the study, recently published in the Journal of Study of Religion, Nature, and Culture, children who played outside 5 to 10 hours a week said they felt a spiritual connection with the earth and felt their role is to protect it. Quote, these values are incredibly important to human development and well-being, said Professor Greta Van Wieren. We were surprised by the results. Before we did the study, we asked, is it just a myth that children have this deep connection with nature? But we found it was true in profound ways. Well, there was a time when so many of us grew up, we respected the earth. And those of, who were Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, I was Boy Scout leader, Life Scout, and you absolutely, every scout I knew respected nature and your balance in it. But we've gotten away from that. Maybe this means we should get back to it. Mung bean sprouts can drastically reduce cancerous tumors. A really good study. Here's what it says. And this is the Nurses' Health Study. There's a whole lot of nurses in this study. I believe it's around 80,000. Quote, sprouts have been heralded for their incredible nutrition and medicinal benefits for a long time. And now it looks as though one of the staple foods for many Far Eastern cultures in India is another cancerous tumor inhibitor. Mung sprouts also improve endurance and enhance the three doshas, which are body types, according to Ayurvedic medicine. And they found that for the elderly, just eating 20 grams, that's not even an ounce of sprout, mung bean sprouts, can reduce death rates by 8% and lower death by cardiac arrest by 22%. Sprouting can actually yield up to 800% more nutrition than fully grown vegetables. Just three-day germinated broccoli sprouts contain 500% more phytonutrients as eating a mature broccoli sprout. You reduce phytic acid, and you make wonderful amino acids, so it's really good. Also, quinoa in this study is well tolerated. So for those of you who are asking, I can't have gluten, fine. What about quinoa? Okay. It works. According to this latest study, you can eat quinoa. This is from the Department of Gastroenterology, King's College London. They evaluated consuming quinoa in adults with celiac disease, and quinoa, highly nutritious, delicious, gluten-free, and it works. So you can have it and enjoy it. It's good for you. And this was published in the American Journal of Gastroenterology. Finally, the prickly pear. Very few people ever eat this, but they should. This is from a study on the prickly pear, which helps with diabetes, cardiovascular disease, inflammation, and obesity. Now, by the way, you don't want to handle a prickly pear because you'll see tiny little hair-like follicles. Those will stick in your finger. So what you do when you get a prickly pear, always take the bag. And first, when you go in a supermarket, don't just go and pick up the handle of one of those little shopping bags. Pick it up, or carts. Pick it up with a plastic bag, you know, the kind you get your produce with. Just put that over your hand. Then when you're picking it up, you're not contaminating your hand. Then take another one, and that's what you pick up your produce with. And with a prickly pear, you pick it up at the ends. The two ends won't hurt you. And then when you get it home, you spray it down, and then just take a knife, cut the skin off, and then dice it, put some lemon juice on it. It'll stay nice. It'll last about a week in the fridge. And they're looking at all these good things in it. This was published in the Chemistry Central Journal, and talking about how powerful it is, helping lower cholesterol, triglycerides, and helping protect your heart. That's because it has sterols in it and antioxidants, turns off inflammation, and helps the body not create plaques on blood vessel walls. And there's flavonoids in the cactus that minimize these antioxidants that are in flavonoids reduce injury to your lining of your cells. Well, I didn't pay attention to the time. We've taken a little more time than what I normally would, but now it's time for your calls. The number here in our studio is 888-874-4888. Some people watch the program at ustream.tv. That's the letter ustream.tv. Then go to Gary Nall. And everyone by now should always have this emergency number, because if you ever want to listen over the telephone, some reason you may not be able to buy a land-based station or even over the internet, we have cab drivers that have plugged in the into their speakers so they can hear the show. That number to listen over the telephone is 712-432-7231. That's 712-432-7231. Or, if that's busy, 401-347-0456. 401-347-0456. Back in a moment, and we'll take on your issues. Be a little patient, please. My engineer is overwhelmed. Every line is full. Let's start, however, by going to Luann Panessi, and while Luann's talking, he'll be able to go through your calls, and we'll get you lined up. And by the way, first, thank you all the students. It was a wonderful group last night at Hunter College. Appreciate you showing up late and having a lot of input from people. But the real big group was today. We had a mob scene across from the plaza, the Javits Center. We were protesting the American Psychiatric Association. I had asked people to come and discuss this in front of the audience, if they would answer questions. What questions? Well, is there any study existing anywhere that proves that bipolar, schizophrenia, manic depression, anxiety disorder, ADHD, is due to a chemical imbalance in the brain? And they simply said, no, there's not. And I said, if there's no study, then why would you then suggest a therapy that could have devastating results? If you have no proof, and therefore it is purely speculative, why not give the least toxic of treatment? Why not spend quality time just speaking with a person, as historically has been done? Nobody wanted to come, but the people were there, and they were loud, and they were with signs. And I want to thank them, because these are the people that really care about other people. And we have people from all over the area come, so packed that the police kept opening up the line to go further and further up the street. Interesting, I have done this over the last 20 demonstrations that I've helped be a part of. And the biggest was, of course, in Prospect Park, where a large group marched to Washington, D.C., and we ended up in Lafayette Park, which was right across from the White House, and protesting genetic engineering of our food. And that's what kicked off the whole national GMO movement. Let's go over and say hello to Luann. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. You know, I'd like us to revisit this question that I asked on the show yesterday that you said you'd spend a little more time with. And I think it's an important one because there are a lot of people today, a lot of couples who are thinking about having children. And you've mentioned many times when things get boring, we buy a house, then we have kids. And there's a woman that had a conversation with you. She was angry at you because her boyfriend listens to you for a long time. And you told him not to go ahead and have children because we may not be emotionally mature enough to do it, emotionally stable. And she says, now I'm 45 and I don't have a period and I blame you.
Mm-hmm.
And she was seethingly angry with you. And I really would like you to address that with the audience.
All right. First, I never suggested that he not have children. I've made my point very clear many times. Ask yourself, why are you having a child? What is the purpose of the exercise? We have 7 million orphan children. Every year, 6 million children are physically abused in the United States. It is a closet disaster. When you have 7 million innocents that are hurt, and often one parent is complicit or both are complicit, and one is not doing anything because they feel helpless, who advocates for the child? Then think of all the people today who are having children because it's just an extension of what they feel will fill a void in their resume. And think of the professional people, men and women, who believe they can do it all. They're multitaskers. And having a child is important. Okay, based upon what criteria? Do you intend to give unconditional time to that child? Now, it's very easy if you're financially stable to hire a nanny and teachers and people to take care of your child. But that's not the purpose of having a child. Interesting, when I go out early in the morning to do an early morning run, because I start my day extremely early, I see people going to work. At night, I see the people coming back. Frequently, when I'm going back in to take a shower, because I like to shower a couple times a day, because I have a day and I have an evening. And it freshens me up and invigorates me, and I have some juice. But during the day, I'll see the people who have dog walkers come and walk the dogs downstairs. Generally, 4 or 5 dogs at once. And to me, that's not a quality walk. And then the people, when their dog walker's not there, maybe on a weekend, they'll run them down to the curb and they run them back upstairs. And I think, That's cruel to the animal, and the animal's just there for you. All you have to do is give it time and attention. And they don't want to neglect the dog or the cat or the bird, but they're neglecting everything that's important in their life. The only thing they're not neglecting is their career. And then frequently people think, if I don't have a life, if I'm really at a crisis, then I'll have a kid. So I've said this repeatedly. I know people, and I know them personally, and they have later acknowledged this. When they don't have a life, have a kid. Because then you don't have to worry about your life. You got nothing but a kid to think about for the next 18 years. And then if you're really not going to have a life, make sure your kid gives you a grandkid so you can live through them that way. And without exception, these kids end up a mess. Overly protected, not allowing them to engage in the kind of normal growth that children should have, and identifying only by an extension of the parent's ego. Now, there are certainly exceptions to this, but this is a very unhealthy way to have children. As a result, today, rarely is it ever questioned about, is a vaccine safe? Rarely is it questioned, oh, my kid has ADHD? Yeah, get them on these drugs. Rarely is the suicide of the kid who's 10 years old, is anyone questioning, why did your kid commit suicide? It's, well, they committed suicide. Rarely is this sense of entitlement or this sense of thinking that they are unique and special and gifted and blessed and loved. Those are some of the worst things in the world, that we have condemned children believing that you gain this without having to honor life. Meaning, I'm entitled to everything I get in life because, well, I'm blessed, gifted, and loved and valued and precious and beautiful and brilliant. Are you? By what standards? Have you had to actually honor life, honor your spiritual values? No. And hence we have bred two consecutive generations of some of the most selfish, narcissistic, stupid people in the history of America, lacking common sense and believing that they can communicate and have all these friends, none of whom are their friends, and they live vicariously and by voyeurism over the internet, exploiting their highs. So nothing is ever enough. It has to be something over the top. And we're seeing more and more really foolish acts, destructive acts. Just look at the bullying, and look at the suicides, and look at the violence, and look at the acting out. Look at the drunks. Today, going down to the rally, a cab driver said, are you Gary Nolan? I said, yes. He said, oh. He said, I listened to you on the radio. He's from Jamaica. And he said, you have no idea what it's like to pick up all these young women at 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning. They're drunk. They're very vulgar. He said, in my culture, men and women did not act that way. We had curfews. We had manners. Our parents were concerned that we not act out in such a way that embarrassed them. And he says, today, unless you're here listening to how they talk with one another, you can't appreciate how far down the scale they've gone. And I said, I can imagine. No, I'm not out there in a cab picking people up to take them home when they're drunk in the morning. But if you think that they're going to act out in the night, then you're assuming that they do not act out during the day. Now, this brings us to a larger issue. I'm saying that most people have not proven by any spiritual standard that they should be a parent outside of some ritual, or because a religion says it, or because the social pressure deems it, because families demand it, or because the person feels it's one big distraction, but at least it's one they can justify. Now, there are those people who want to have a child for the right reason, are prepared to put the right energy into that, and give it really the time and attention that the child needs. Not overprotective, but not abandoning the child to their whims of whatever they want to do, and having the type of discipline that maintains some boundaries so a person at least has a chance to evolve with respect for others in their environment and themselves. But what I find more than anything today, and this is with this particular man, because here's what he didn't tell you. He said that he and his friend fight all the time, that she comes from a background where she was, according to him, verbally abused by her father all the time. And she hated her father and couldn't wait to get out of the house. And then when she went to school, she became a radicalized student, joining movements, not because she believed in the movements, but because it was one way of being everything her father resented. And that these fights are regular, and that she writes him, emails him, texts him, a lot of hate messages. But then, in time, says, well, she's sorry, and everything should be wiped away. And he asked me, he says, at what point do you say, enough, you've been down this road so many times, and this is a person who now wants to have a child, only because her biological clock is at this point. And he said, so, I'm not happy in this relationship, because this is a person that doesn't share love. She shares criticism. and harsh criticism. But maybe that's her form of love. Maybe that's the only kind of attention that she got from her father, so maybe she is acting out. And he says, I don't want to bring a kid in this world, because if she's going to be this nasty and this acting out at this stage, what the hell's going to happen if something goes wrong in our relationship and a kid is 1 or 2 years old? She would use a kid in a heartbeat as a weapon against me. And I don't want that. So I said, just be honest with her. Tell her, you know, tell her that this is not a relationship that you're happy with. And he said, also, I come from a family that is made to feel guilt-ridden if you don't keep working on something. He said, we actually pride ourselves in how much suffering we can take and how much abuse we can absorb. We're supposed to be better for it. And I said, no one's better for abuse they take or suffering. That's just foolish. A relationship should be based upon two people sharing the best that they can be at any given time with another person. Select what you choose to share and share it where you're not compromising. Either person's compromising on your basic self. Therefore, you're in harmony. You're harmonizing your best energy. And then you choose what you want to work on yourself. You can't tell another person in a relationship, I don't like this about you, change. We have no right to do that. We only have a right to say, I don't like this about myself in this relationship. I'm going to work on changing because I value the relationship and what it could mean if I'm able to transform what I don't like about myself into something that I will like and hopefully you will like as well. Now, if both people are honest enough to look at themselves in a mirror and not see some distorted illusion looking back and just be honest, then they have a chance of doing that. And then through their transformations, they can then get to a point where they can say, the epigeneticism of my background and your background has to be positively put into this developing child. If we're having a child, either of us, for the wrong reason, if you're having it out of insecurity, and I'm having it out of fear that I don't want fear of loss, meaning the relationship, then those fears become the energy of the developing baby. And then you've now emotionally scarred a child before it's even born. What kind of person does that? One that's moved away from their spiritual essence. But one day, after all the compromises and after all the malfeasance in our own development, our narcissism, we have taken so many steps away from what is ideal that we no longer recognize an ideal. We keep adapting to our dysfunction. And then one day we are nothing but a master dysfunction. And most people, let me repeat that, Luann, so I'm very clear. The vast majority of people I ever meet in the world are dysfunctional in different ways. And they tend to hide these, disguise them, until you get close enough or long enough, and then they come out. The trouble is, and you've also heard me say, that the quality of a relationship will always be limited by a person's weak points, never enhanced by their strong points. So if you think because of your looks or your money or your charm or your sense of humor that gets you in the door, it well may. But what gets you kicked out the door is everything else that is not a positive, but is a negative, but you assume someone should adapt to your negatives because they are overwhelmed with your positives. It just doesn't work. We are the most dysfunctional nation in the world when it comes to our relationships. Maybe the Russians are, but we're right beside them.
Yeah.
I mean, we are just so screwed. So, when you look at that, then shouldn't you at least be honest enough about, are you a person? Because if you write toxic letters to someone, if you demean people in your phone calls, if you attack people, if you eviscerate people, that's not coming from the spiritual. That's not coming from harmonizing the best you can be. That's coming from the worst that you can be. And that's what you're bringing into this new child's life. So your insecurity, and you're always going to find three qualities in people who are this dysfunctional. A, you're going to find people who have no trust. They don't trust you because they don't trust themselves. And hence they don't trust that there could be a thriving, wonderful relationship. So they stay confused, always hunting, predatory. B, they feel betrayed. Anything said or done that doesn't meet their false expectations, they will then turn the most innocent and innocuous as a spear and lance you. Three, they fear abandonment, because whatever they didn't receive in the way of unconditional support and love as a child makes them feel that somehow at the deepest level they are not worthy. But to prove their worth, they're not going to allow anyone to get away with it again, and hence they select the very people that had once betrayed them or abandoned them into the relationships. And then see how many people find people like this in the relationships and then act out. So these are the people who want to have children. It's their right to have children. But what happens to the right of the child that ends up in an orphanage? If they are that concerned, become a big brother. Become a big sister. See what it's like to go, when you can, and meet with a child that's like the most open-hearted creature on the earth, wanting someone to acknowledge them, and you take them out, you take them to the park, you take them to, you know, take them shopping, do something with them, but at the end of the day, you take them back, you know, and then you decide, do I want to continue this? Am I emotionally prepared for this? And with as screwed up as most people are, now most people are just walking levels of dysfunction, and we just don't have the honesty to address this. Hope that answers the question.
Good insights, Gary. Thank you.
All the best. My engineer has a whole line of calls, but we're out of time. We will take these calls on our next show. I'll set time aside. I won't have a guest, so you can call back. So those of you who called, Carolyn from Brooklyn, Peter from Pennsylvania, and all the others, call back on our next show. All right? I look forward to having a nice conversation with you. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you very much for listening.